Blog Talk Radio.
I was walking downtown one day, and I saw a man who appeared to be just an old wino sitting on the street telling the people about Jesus as they passed by. And because he was all raggedy and dirty, people would just laugh and make fun of the old man and walk on by. And he said, because of the way I am, no money, no fancy clothes, fine homes and cars, a lot of people consider me as nothing and say I don't know what I'm talking about. But there's one thing that he said that really touched my heart and stayed on my mind. When that old man looked up and said, I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. He said, I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. And he said, I've had so many problems in my life that I just couldn't deal with. So I started drinking, thought it would help ease my pain. But things got worse, so I said, Lord, I give up. I'm in your hands. And that's when my life began to change. But these people think I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. And he said, on the streets day and night, that's my life, that's my home. Ain't got nowhere else I can go. So I just walk the streets telling the people about Jesus. From corner to corner, from door to door. But they all make fun of me and say, I'm a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. Oh.
What is my life worth? Just living from breakthrough to breakthrough? A constant hope for a miracle? I live in these days of darkness. I smell my desperation of things prayed for and not yet received.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, praise be unto God. Praise be unto God. Praise be unto God. Praise be unto God. Hallelujah, Lord. Good evening. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I'm your host, Brother David, and I'd like to welcome you to the Spirit of a Soldier, where we come to share the knowledge and wisdom of God's Word. As the man said, I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. Can any good thing come out of Detroit? Oh, yeah. When Jesus lays hands on you, when he gets a hold of you, he takes that nobody and make you somebody. So no matter where you come from, God is moving you forward. Yes, the Proverbs always says, 4:20:22, my son, attend to my words. Incline thy ears unto thy saying. Let them not depart from thy eyes. Keep them in the midst of thy heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. God's word is health to all our flesh. God's word is life to us. God's word gives us the abundant life, for he is the way, the truth, and the life. This is what we should search for. This is what we should do. Yes, people may think of you as nobody. They may not consider you to have value. But God says you have value. Why? Because he sent his only begotten son, because he loved us first. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I just glorify and magnify your name for this day. For this is the day, the best day ever, because you gave us your breath and your life. You gave us your strength, Father God, when you blew your breath in us. And I thank you, Father God, for the blessing of life. Thank you, Father God, no matter what we have done in the past, because you are loving and forgiving God, a merciful God, a kind God, a patient God. Father God, we have hope for the future because you love us first. Father, I thank you right now for this opportunity, this golden opportunity. Every time I get to stand up and speak about you, Father God, it is a golden opportunity because you give me the life and the strength and the breath to be able to do so. You told us, you gave us a commandment to go into the world, Father God, to let people know about the good news of you. So, Father God, I'm praying right now for everyone on this line, everyone who is listening, everyone, Father God, all over the world, in the countries, the states, the cities, the communities, the neighborhood, the families, and every individual part of these entities, Father God. I pray for their blessing. I pray right now, Father God, without hesitation, that everyone, Father God, receive Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. As that they be blessed with the gift, Father God, of the Holy Spirit, who will illuminate the Scripture, who will give them comfort in times of need, who will counsel them for direction, who will correct them when they need redirection. I thank you, Father God. I thank you, Father God, that you bless them, Father God, with your armor, Father, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth, the shoes of peace, and the sword of the Spirit, that they may be armed for the warfare that they're going to embark upon, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. No, they are mighty through you, God, to the pulling down of strongholds, Father God, bringing into captivity every thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of you to the obedience of Christ. I thank you, Father God. Renew our mind every day, Lord, so that we may be prepared to deal with the ills that come our way. I pray for us now, Father. I thank you, Father God, in the name of Jesus, create us a clean heart and renew the right spirit in us, Father God, that we may be able to serve you. To serve you, Father God, to be moved by your will, changing our soul, our mind, will, and emotion to line up with the heart and mind of Christ. Help us, Father God. I pray right now, Father God, that anyone that needs healing right now, Father God, you said it was a part of our benefit. You said, Father God, that you will forgive us of all our inequities, redeem us from our own life and destruction, crown us with your loving, kind, and tender mercy, heal us of our diseases, and satisfy our mouth with good things so that our youth is renewed like the eagle, that we may go into the world and declare the works of you. You said you would give us long life, that we would to know your salvation. I claim it, Father God, because it is written. Jesus said it was written. I'm saying that it's written because he said it's written. Therefore, your word will not return void, but accomplish what that has been sent to do. I thank you, Father God. I know, Father God, people are hurting, Father, all over the world. I thank you for the healing of the crushed spirit, Father God, and giving them the peace that surpasses all understanding. I thank you, Father God. And as long as we trust in you, Father God, hallelujah, you will give us your perfect peace. I thank you, Father God. And we will not lose confidence in you, Lord, for your confidence in you, Lord, brings about great recompense of reward. Even when the thief comes to try to kill, steal, and destroy, you still will give us abundance of life and more abundantly. I claim it, Father God. I claim it, Father God. There are people who are afflicted with diseases, Father God. I think that the affliction shall leave and not return a second time. I claim it, Father God. Oh, I praise your holy majestic name. Father God, as I go forward, let me decrease and the Holy Spirit increase. Let it be fire shut up in my bones. I thank you, Father God, that I will say your word, Father God, with accuracy and deliver it with proficiency, Father God, that it has the dumous power, Father God, to impact people's lives, not because of me, the messenger, but because of the power of your message. I thank you, Father God. I praise your holy and majestic name. Guide me, direct me, Father God, and let those, Father God, have ears to hear Father God. Let them have eyes to see, Father God. Let them have a heart to believe, Father God. Even for those that lack to believe, I ask you that you help their unbelief. In the name of Jesus. For we're going to move by faith and not by sight. We're going to move the giants in our lives out the way because, Father God, you are the weaponry we will use, Father God, to tear Satan down for the battles already won. I thank you, Father God. I believe this to be so, Father God. You told us to have faith in you, God, that whatever we say with our mouth, we can say unto the mountain, be thou removed, and cast into the sea. And do not doubt in our heart, but believe those things which we pray, Father God, shall come to pass. It is written. It is so. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, praise be to God. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. Let's just give him praise. Hallelujah. Praise you, Father God. 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 Hallelujah. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed be the rock of our salvation. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. Woo, praise God. Oh, day for the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, man. I just thank you, Lord. Well, the quote for today is when you say yes to others, make sure you aren't saying no to yourself. Pablo Coelho. Don't be afraid of losing yourself by trying to please everyone around you. Have reasonable expectation of man, but have all your expectations in God as he worked through man to meet the expectation of the plan that he has for your life. David Patterson. You have permission to rest. You are not responsible for fixing everything that is broken. You don't have to try to make everyone happy. For now, take time for you. Take time to replenish. Unknown author. Hallelujah. The scripture tells us in Galatians 1:10, and I am now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Or am I trying to please people? If I were still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ. And 1 Thessalonians 2:4 tells us, hallelujah, but just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak. Not to please man, but to please God who tests our heart. I always say, Lord, put your floodlight on my heart because I want you to continue to create in me a clean heart and renew the right spirit in me. And John 12:43 tells us, for they love the glory that comes from man more than they love the glory that comes from God. John 12:43. For they love the glory that comes from man more than the glory that comes from God. And Acts 5:29. But Peter and the apostle answered, we must obey God rather than man. Hallelujah. And John 5:44 say, how can we believe when we see glory from another and do not seek the glory that comes only from God? And 2 Corinthians 5:9 says, so whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please him. Hallelujah. Well, I want to share a few stories of some people who had some challenges. What were their challenges? They were people pleasers. One, I'm just going to give you their first name. First is Jasmine. Jasmine stated that as she began to learn more about her audience of one in relation to developing her recovery plan, she felt that the more knowledge she gained how Christ loved her, the easier it became to be herself and not to be so quick to compromise her beliefs because it's what everyone else wanted to do. And as she progressed in her aging process, there is a note of realization that whoever she compromised her life for won't be standing with her when she has to. Well, we all got to give an account on our own, by ourselves, mama, daddy, husband, wife, son, daughter, and all the associates in our lives will not be able to stand up and tell our story and answer unto God. Only we will give that account. She says, so if anybody has to be pleased, it would be better Jesus than anyone else, because those that are around me will fade away just like that. It's funny because it makes sense now, however. But in the present moment, she still must disentangle herself from fear to get to those rational conclusions that will give her strength, that will lead her away from people-pleasing and help her to be brave for Christ for the gospel's sake. When she feels that she needs a lot of prayer, don't we all do? And the next individual is faith. She stated that she hated confrontation all her life. She would always try going the other way or either go with the flow instead of rocking the boat. But the Lord gave her a true miracle in her life, that even within her situations where within the world of hatred, people telling her that she needed to put man's law above God. However, she now is taking that miracle experience to be stronger, realize she needs to be armed herself with God's word, and then maybe confront them. She now understands that God is the word, God's word is true, and he is love. And since we are here, but for the brief moment in time, she now recognizes that she is a beloved child of God. Jesus, her heavenly brother, is a heavenly brother for which she will follow and strive to please him forever. And Jante says, she stated that too often she sought the approval of man. She says she is guilty of this in many ways. She stated that now all she wants to do is share the truth with everyone she comes in contact with and pray that the Lord stirs this up in her as much as possible so she can pour it out to everyone. For the only opinion that truly matters is her relationship. And for she only wants to live her life using her hands, her body, her feet, her mouth as a testament to his great love. She prayed that God will let these changes and priorities come past in her life. She prayed that God will guide her and remind her when she fall prey to life's circumstances, when she fall prey to the need for man's approval and not God. She says the God word in her life is a major conviction for her, for she now realized that God knew her and values her and appreciates her. And now she wants to live her life for him and to guide many people as possible to the way, the truth, and the life of serving God in love. The moral of the story. What are we hearing here? Individuals struggling with what I call people-pleasing syndrome. Struggling to be accepted, tired of being rejected, attempting daily to be injected into someone else's life, in attempt to be solidified or feel that wholeness that only Christ can give to our lives. But we can see when we turn it over to God, who is totally accepting us just the way we are, and meet us right where we are at, we can see that there's peace that surpasses all understanding. Will begins to turn into that perfect peace because we trust him. And the scripture tells us this in Philippians 4:6. And the peace that surpasses all understanding will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus when we turn it all over to him. And in Isaiah 26:3 says, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts you. See, David understood this when he was a shepherd boy. He understood that if he trusts God, then all would be well. God gave him peace out in the field as he took care of the sheep. Even when the lions and the bears came up, he trusted God and he could do his job well, which was the preparation for him to be king and trust God. Well, it was the preparation even before his kingship to be able to take on the giants and life with five rocks. See, he trusted God. And that leads us into our show. Are we people pleasers or Christ followers? So often we are on this pursuit to be people pleasers. We spend endless time attempting to fit in, to be accepted, acknowledged, or valued by people. We go far and beyond reason just to be liked and hopefully loved by others. I heard people often say, in many occasions, what they won't tolerate from others. Yet with the same breath, doing whatever it takes to be a part of others. Found that we as human beings within our own human conceit or ego lack consistency to truly say anything with absolute certainty about what we won't do. This is not a judgment on anyone's character, just a realistic fact that if one is honest with themselves, at some point at some time we all have said what we're not going to do and end up doing it, or we all say we're going to do it, promise something, and either to ourselves or to someone else and not fulfill it. But the scripture tells us in Ecclesiastes 5, it is better not to make a promise than to make one and not keep it. But oh, I know every year, like clockwork, people make New Year resolutions and they don't keep it. And Proverbs 10:19 says, sin is unavoidable when there is much talk, but whoever seals his lips is wise. See, we get to talking, we get to making promises, we get to, I ain't going to do this, and I ain't going to tolerate that, and I don't need this, and I don't need that, and then we find ourselves opposite of what we just presented. But when we slow to speak, we can grasp understanding. We can grasp discernment. For as much as we profess we have faith, walking in God's truth, and any other spirit projection we attempt to put into the universe, we have to accept that we just can't be 100% certain about what we will and will not do, given the right situation, but we can be 100% sure to do what he say he will do. See, the scripture tells us in Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we know human beings are not the same yesterday, today, and forever. We as people may have good intentions, and we'll see that down the road, but we cannot be 100% absolutely certain what we will not do placed in the right situation or condition. Isaiah 55:11 says, so shall my word be that go forth out of my mouth. It shall not return void, but it shall accomplish that which is I please, and it shall prosper in the things wherefore which I sent it. Only God can do that. Only God can do that. If we could be 100% sure, there'd be no poor people. That everybody would love you, because everybody be striving for the same thing. To have these things that we see as ills in our world today wouldn't be, because we could be 100% sure there would be no crime. There'd be 100% sure we would not sin. However, there is one. Revelation 1:8 says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, said the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Only the Almighty can do that. Strive, as Paul said, towards the mark of perfection, to mature in God, to mature in Christ, to mature with the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. See, my personal spirit is my own validation of my inability to truly say what I want to do, what I won't do, and absolutely certain, for I can only be sufficient in Christ. Only when I allow myself to move just from sacrifice to obedience that I might can be sure. But only through his sufficiency, only through Christ can I certainly be sure that what God has intended for me and for me to do will get accomplished. Hallelujah. You see, 2 Corinthians 12:9 says, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. See, God's power and our inabilities will make us have the ability to do what his word intended for us to do. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness, so that Christ's power may rest on me. Yes, we have to learn to trust God. Boast in the weakness to give God the credit for the strength to make us strong, to renew our strength, to help us to change our mind, to create us a clean heart, to renew the right spirit in us. Because man can't do it. As much as they're well-intending, they just can't do it, not on their own. You see, my friend, just as my own war experience, it validates when in the right situation, anyone is subject to doing and even becoming what he or she never thought they would do or be. Why am I presenting such a harsh reality? Because most of us who have had little time on this planet, let's just say 13 years and up, have seen people attempt to be accepted or to be better yet, to be people pleasers at some point in their lives. They live their lives to be approved. And see, I brought the opening scripture, and I'll repeat it again, about Galatians 1:10. Am I trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Or am I trying to please people? If I were still trying to please people, I would not be the servant of Christ. See, we know that when we are transformed, we begin to lose that desire to be a people pleaser, to be more of a Christ follower. Our ways begin to change slowly, you see, some faster than others, depending on the weight, depending on their situation, depending on the strongholds that press them. You see, we have to understand that everybody progressed differently, but we're progressing, And the Holy Spirit laid on my heart that I'm progressing so I can rest in assurance that I'm eventually going to be able to walk over the finish line. I'm going to finish the race. And I'm going to hear his words to say, this is my servant who I am well pleased, my son. I hope to hear him say, this is a man after my own heart, from the man that I was named after, David. Hallelujah. You see, Paul understood this because I believe when his transformation happened, he recognized the futility of behavior of his behavior attempting to please the Sanhedrin or the Sanhedrin, the spiritual leaders in the time when Christ walked and was resurrected. However, our behavior hasn't changed much since then. We still have the tendency to be more people-pleasers than followers of Christ. You see, the more we may give consideration, we have to give consideration, many people crave to be accepted and included in the in-crowd or in a relationship regardless of the poor quality of the presenting relationship. I've counseled quite a few people in the last couple of weeks, and I see the people-pleasing behavior off the scale. This is where this comes from, because many people are calling me and just want to be accepted, want to be understood, want to be valued by people at that time, don't value them that way, but they keep trying. One's hope is that it will change. They will be treated like they want to be treated. They will be accepted like they want to be accepted. In other words, they will be included. However, when this doesn't manifest, it can cause some chronic perception of one's self-worth or self-esteem, produce all sort of pessimistic and negative ramifications against one's own psychological, emotional, physical, and more so spiritual well-being, which if you pay attention, we see it every day in our society. We see this everywhere we go, in the home, in the school, in the jobs, in the churches, on the street. We just want to be included. Case in point, remember the lady I spoke about who wanted to be accepted by men? With all due respect to her, she didn't have the appearance that society said is attracted by social standards. Not my opinion, this is what she was saying. She was short in stature, overweight in size for her height, facial features didn't deem as a magazine model. She probably would not be accepted on the next top model. Why is this? Because, see, the world presents something totally different. They put people, see, it's not a fault of our own to some degree why we want this, because the world continues to perpetuate competition nature and comparison nature. We're always competing. We're always comparing. Always. It don't matter if it's male or female. It don't matter if you're the boss. It don't matter if you're the executive. It don't matter if you're a football baseball athlete. It just don't matter. We always competing in comparison, which puts you in a bad place. You're like caught between a rock and a hard place. So it becomes very difficult. You see, America spent more than $16.5 million on cosmetic plastic surgery in the last 3 years. You see, I know someone specifically that had five backside surgeries trying to be accepted by someone. to be viewed as we would use the term. She 36. You're trying to be that brick house, as they would call it back in the day. Could not accept that God's design was beautiful. Like my daughter, who came here, unlike most people that look like what we call normal, the man would tell us that we can leave her. And I said, is this a catalog? Is this a catalog? And if something don't come the way you want, when God is God's design, we send it back? I don't think so. But all people spend this time trying to please people. And this started very early in our lives as children. And then it was found in 2019, the advertising sector spent approximately $36.5 billion U.S. dollars on advertisement for men's supplemental products. So it ain't just women, it's men too. Everybody want to be looking good. But what are you looking good for? Because you don't like the design that God gave you? I ain't saying nothing wrong with the house. Maybe it has a little paint. But if it's driving your behavior because you're trying to appease people to be accepted, not rejected, to be understood but and not pushed to the side, to be included into the crowd, you have to ask the question again. Are you being a people pleaser or a God follower? So these facts alone confirm how we have brought into the idea that we strive hard to be people pleasers in order to be accepted and fit in. And this isn't just, again, as I said, for women. This is for men. It is so sad. And they tell us by the year 2028, just on supplements alone, it will be we have been spent $272.4 billion. That's something to behold. Yet Satan has created such an illusion to cause us to buy into this need to be a people pleaser in every way. And this is just the physical side of the house. What about the emotional side of the spectrum? For many, there are several interpersonal emotions that reflect reactions to real, anticipated, remembered, and imagined rejection. My son, he was going to take a girl to her prom. And she, invited him to go. And he said, well, Dad, what do you think? I said, well, son, this is nice. I said, but let me tell you how this works. When you go to someone else's prom, you kind of at the whim of what they do once they get there because you know no one. So be ready if this flips the script. So lo and behold, he had the limousine. The mother said he was a gentleman. He had the corsage. He had it all. He had everything that I could imagine that I would do. He picked the young lady up. She was looking absolutely radiant. And he took her there. And soon she got there, they got right into their little crowd. And she left him. She abandoned him, basically. So after a while, he called me and said, Dad, it happened just like you said. I didn't try to predict this, but I've been there, done that. But lo and behold, this happened. So, the limousine, brought him home, and we talked about it. And there's more to the story because we were together Sunday, and it's another part of the story why my son is not there. Not just because he waited for Miss Wright, because of that thing called rejection. But I try to comfort him by telling him, son, sometimes it ain't rejection, it's selection. We all like what we like, but we have to look at the heart of the person. You see, because what happens, hurt feelings, jealousy, loneliness, shame, guilt, social anxiety, and embarrassment occurs when people perceive that their relational value to other people is low or in potential jeopardy. Other emotions such as sadness and anger may accompany these rejection-related emotions, but are reactions to features of rejected episodes other than the low relational value. These circuit of events, remember I said about remembers, these circuit of events become now subconscious. They not only say in the top of your head, but they have a way of working through who you are in every relationship you come in contact with. And sometimes you may be very optimistic, but a great deal of people are people pleasers. You're more than likely they're pessimistic. They think negative because fear is driving that behavior. These relational feelings reflect a response to genuine, expected, recollected, and envisioned dismissals. Hurt sentiment, envy, desolate, disgrace, blame, social nervousness, and shame happen when an individual sees that their emotional value and social worth to others is low or likely at risk. Different feelings like pity, outrage that we see every day may go into the dismissal, go with these dismissal feelings, yet our response to highlight of the dismissal scene other than the one that people want. In other words, such as these pseudo-beliefs that cause one to join gangs, insurrections we see, hate crimes, sex trade, prostitution, porn, physical and emotional and mental abuse. Oh, yes. People pleasing, and when you get rejected and dejected and you're not injected, these feelings manifest. And we can put on the facade, we can perpetrate all day long, but people are quick to say, I don't care what nobody thinks. That's a lie. That's a straight up lie. We all care. The business, the clothing industry validates that. The car industry validates that. It's very few people I see going to go and get them a Pinto. Or they going to get them a little, well, escorts look pretty good now. Well, go get them a little escort. Very few people. Now, as people age, they get more seasoned, more responsible, and accountable, and they be more realistic, they probably be wise stewards of their finances. But in our youthful years, oh, we trying to please somebody. We want to be seen. So the question comes, why are we always hearing people say, why they act like that? Why they say that? Why don't they change? And the list goes on. Because when we are living to please man, we either don't have the time for God, we're not trying to make time for God, or we're just not in touch with God. And for the most of us, the latter was true until we began to make God our priority. I'm guilty of it. I was finger popping, girl chasing, hanging out, doing my thing, because this is what I grew up with. This was the condition I was around. And oh, I dealt with a lot of rejection. And it had an impact on who I was. Fortunate enough, I had those who accepted me, which is my mother and my father and my grandparents and my brothers and my sisters and various people I call mothers and fathers who would keep me going. And then when I joined the military, there were leaders who kept me going. Oh, I want to stop right now. I want to stop right now. And I want to give, as the young people say, a shout out to Elder QT, who gave me wisdom last week, who passed his knowledge on to me last week, who guided me like an elder should last week, who gave me insight last week, who stemmed me up to stir up my gifts last week. See, but always, many people don't always get that. Many people ain't got time for you. They don't want to hear what you're talking about because they're in their own survival mode, and you can't be mad at them because everybody out here trying to survive. But, oh, we got to wake up, people. Hallelujah. See, I have found it to be rare that I meant truly what God was totally their priority. They can tell, and I can tell you this to be true, when I walk in friends' house who have $3.5 million homes, their vase costs $5,000. Their cars cost $300,000. Or if I walk into a family home of middle-class living, check for check, and they are debt up to the ceiling because they're trying to keep up with donors. I was one of them as a soldier. You know, we the lowest paid people on the planet in the beginning until we move up in rank. Oh, I was a people pleaser, pleasing my wife, pleasing my family, pleasing my friends, pleasing everybody in between. Oh, so I know what it's like to be a people pleaser. Because you don't want to hurt nobody's feelings. You don't want to be viewed as wrong. You don't want to be rude, viewed as selfish. You don't want to be viewed as arrogant. You don't want to be viewed, all these way out ideals of being viewed. And I know there are a lot of people who always like to take an S on their chest, so they're the super people, and they don't even hear what I'm talking about. But for us lowly people out here who have been struggling with these emotions, and there's more than we want to give credence to, and because I've been counseling for many, many years, I've counseled soldiers for many, many years, I've heard it from the professional end, the educational end, I've heard it. They're on the streets. The guys who were perpetrators, I like to say, that were coming here to knock your block off. But a behind the closed door, oh, you hear another story. People pleasing. They're part of that gang banging because they're trying to please the guy that's the leader is dogging you. I went out to be a mason, and I looked at, I said, oh, I can't do this. I went out to pledge. Oh, I can't do this because I was people pleasing. I wasn't looking out for me, but I did because I said there was some pain I ain't going to let nobody do, and one of them is put their hands on. I don't care what ritual is. You see, I understand the struggle and the battle, and I understand what people bring to me. But let me lay this down to you. Let me lay down somebody in the Word who has struggled to be a people who was walking with God, a people pleaser. This is the time in Luke 22:54-62. Then they seized him and led him away, bringing him to the high priest's house. And Peter was following at a distance. And when they had kindled the fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat down among them. Then a servant girl, seeing him as he sat in the light, looked closely at him and said, "This man also was with him." Now, we track this back a skip. Sitting at the Last Supper, Jesus told him, "Hey, dude, you're going to deny me three times. Oh, you're going to lie three times." That's a nice word, denial, right? Straight up lying. Let's just call it for what it is. He lied. Now, he walked with Jesus for 3.5 years. I can say three, for sure, 3+ months. Why? Because Jesus was with them from the time he picked Peter and them to the end. And this is the end at the Last Supper. It ain't like he was staying with Jesus for 3 months. He turned around and he denied him. He denied him. But he denied and said, "Woman, I don't know him." Straight up lie. Call it for what it is. And a little later, someone else saw him and said, "You also are one of them." Peter said, "Man, I am not." Ding, ding, two. And after an interval of about an hour still, another instance, an hour, just an hour. "Certainly this man is also with him, for he is too is a Galilee." But Peter said, "Man, I don't know what you are talking about. I don't know what you're talking about. Woman, I don't know him. Man, I am not. I don't know what you're talking about." Sound like my man Will, Gary Coleman. What you talking about, Will? Don't even know the man. Don't know Jesus. But just said, "I'll be with you." Remember I said, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But man is questionable. And the Lord turned and looked at Peter. Hello. And Peter remembered the saying of the Lord, how he had said to him, "Before the rooster crows today, you will deny me three times." And he went out and wept bitterly. Why am I sharing this? Because this is the ills of people pleasing. This is our result of people pleasing. Yet our Lord and Savior understood the importance of not being a people pleaser, even down to his parents. However, let me note this, that even though Jesus responded on several occasions, may give an impression, we must note that Jesus knew how to respond in a way that the message was understood by whoever heard it, or he explained it, and the recipient eventually got it. So let's look at Luke 2:4, but if you like, you can read the whole passage of 41-52. So when Jesus went with his family to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover, when it was time for him to return home, we see Jesus stayed back at the temple sitting with the teacher, listening to them and asking questions. His parents thought he was in the convoy traveling from Jerusalem to their home. They traveled a full day, but realized that Jesus was not with them. And then another 2 days until they found him in the temple. This is where, if you caught Jesus' response to his mother when they finally found him, it may seem he was disrespectful to Mary. Why is it you were looking for me? Scripture says they did not understand that statement. They did not understand that he was more concerned about pleasing his heavenly father than he was about pleasing his earthly mom and dad. However, in time, Mary got it. Then in John 2:2-5, and both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage, he came again. He said, when they wanted wine, the mother Jesus said unto him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said unto her, "Woman, what have that to do with thee? My hour is not yet come." His mother said unto the servant, she just moved on over, whatever, whatsoever he said unto you, do it. So the mother understood. Maybe she got it. She understood. She didn't tell him directly, but she understood. You see, we can see for most of us, if it was in our power to do for our mothers, even if we didn't have anything to do with it, we make it happen. Yet Jesus, not being a people pleaser, for he was a follower of his heavenly Father's will, didn't just react to even his mother's, again, desire. But I believe he listened to the Holy Spirit before he turned the water into wine. Yet as I understand from my research, that this would be a symbolic representation of this transformation from human ritual into divine sacrifice. In other words, following his heavenly Father instead of being a people pleaser. And then we go and we talk about another story with Jesus again. See, Jesus is deep. Jesus is deep. See, he gets the big picture. See, so no matter what's presented to him, I heard somebody say to me last night that they articulate first, then they process. But see, Jesus processed, then he articulated. So you see, Jesus in the wilderness, then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. Jesus answered, it is written, my favorite line, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Jesus was a God follower. Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. And if you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command the angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hand, so that you will not strike your foot against stone. And Jesus said, it is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. See, Jesus understood even onto suicide, because Satan was trying to trick on him. We see suicide every day of people trying to be people pleasers. Jesus put a top to that and he quoted, it is written, you see. Then again, the devil took him to the high mountain and showed him the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. Oh, here's where it goes. Don't it say when you plant the seed that some seeds will fall into the thorn and get choked by the cares of the world? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. See, Satan understood this. Let me show him the good stuff. And all this I will give you, he said, if you just bow down and worship me. You see, Jesus understood that ain't going to happen. Jesus said to him, away from me, Satan, for it is written, my favorite line, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Being a people pleaser or a Satan pleaser, and today Satan is working through people so we can keep being a people pleaser because we're trying to please Satan stuff. See, he's working a new angle, see? Working a new angle, his device. But you see, Jesus again understood the importance of following his heavenly Father, not even pleasing Satan, for which you might think Satan was trying to please Jesus, but Jesus understood the underlying message Satan was trying to present indirectly. Isn't that what we do, what he does to us today? Think about the story, the statistics of the cosmetic and the male supplement business, presenting something that appears good, but the long-term effect is demoralizing. It breaks us down. It results in destruction. Why? Because it's the results of Satan's lies that he created through the illusion to utilize man to destroy man in his way in order that he may to be able to steal God's truth, destroy our lives, and probably kill us to make us graveyard dead. Remember, he tried to get Jesus to jump off the temple. Hallelujah. See, the question for us today, are we living to be people pleasers of living to be people pleasers, or are we trying to be followers of Christ? For living to be people pleasers, like the grass of the field described in James, that it wilts away. When we're living to please God, it is eternal. It has value, as Matthew described, in our choices. You see, James 1, 9 through 11 said, when he talks about the perspective of rich and poor, he says, lowly the brother glory in his exaltation, but The rich is his humiliation, because as a flower of the field, he will pass, it will pass away. For no sooner had the sun risen with a burning heat that it wilters the grass, its flower falls, and the beautiful appearance perishes. So the rich also will fade away in his pursuit. The illusion. I will give you the world, the kingdom, but it's going to fade like the smoke from a cigarette. So we're going to pick up on this, but I want to leave you with this perspective. I want you to think about this. If you come back next week, what I'm believing you will, and then you tell a friend, because we're going to talk about 12 examples of behaviors that says we're trying to get approval and validation as to please people. And then we're going to move to talk about how we can be more followers of Christ. So let me lay this 12 out for you. So you can ask these questions of yourself. Taking disagreement personally. Changing or adapting your point of view in the face of apparent disapproval. Afraid to say no for fear of disapproval. Oh, I know that one. Standing up for your rights. Gaining attention or acceptance through gossip. Appearing to agree with someone verbally or non-verbally when you don't. Not complaining when you receive unsatisfactory service or good. Pretending to know or understand something you know. Feeling the need to apologize even when there's been no disapproval. Expecting compliments or fishing for them or in being upset because you didn't get them. Failing to cope with any level of criticism. And 12, behaving in a way that's contradicted to your beliefs. And I know, I listen in my Bible study prayer groups, I hear that all day long. Instead of standing up to have the boldness and the courage of John the Baptist, we quiver, we step back, we step away, we mind our own business. We don't want to shake the apple cart. We don't want to ruffle the feathers, but it's time out. It's time out. It's time for us to stand up, if nothing else, and I believe this with all my heart, if nothing else, stand up for the gospel of Christ. Stand up. Don't be ashamed. You know, I know apart from myself is because I know my history. Now, for all practical purposes, because you don't know me from a can of paint, my history is not so terrible. So, what did he do? Did he go and kill up everybody? Or what did he do? No, no. I have my own addiction. And they didn't cause me to do that. But in the eyes of man, I was all that in a bag of chips. But in the eyes of God, I was crumbled chips. I was them crumbs in the bottom of the bag. And I know that now. But just like Paul, who basically watched Stephen get killed, who was out there persecuting Christ's people, and he was, excuse me, on a mission. I don't know your story. I don't know your secret sin. It don't matter to me. That's God's business. But you do. And we know that a part of that is us people pleasing. Situations we shouldn't have been in. Houses we shouldn't have been visiting. Stores we shouldn't have been in. Events we shouldn't have been at. Because we people pleasing. But oh, I'm going to lay with you this. Joshua's word of 24:14-15. Now, therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the God that your father served beyond the river in Egypt and serve the Lord. And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day who you will serve, whether the gods your father served in the region beyond the rivers or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But for me and my house, we serve the Lord. Let me quickly move into the soldier's perspective. I know many people say they don't care about what people think of them. For all practical purposes, I like to believe that. However, my life experience, my education, my travels, they tell me this statement has a question mark on it. We all want to be valued, approved, and appreciated, liked, and loved. And anyone say different, including myself, then again, we have to put that question mark on where we are in our spiritual maturity and journey. It's okay to want to fit in, to be accepted, to be a part of the crowd. Just as long as the crowd you are serving is serving God to the best of your ability in Christ. So let's take a week. Let's take this week to strive towards being Christ followers and less of people pleasers. I believe we will find the peace that surpasses all understanding. How can you find this peace? How can you find this joy? How can you let it go? How can you die to self? How can you put your body under subjection? How can you do this when you try to do it on your own strength? And remember I said earlier, I boast in my weakness, because in my weakness, God is strong. But how can you have God if you don't know God? And I'm not talking about skating over the ideal of God. I'm talking about getting deep under the water so you see the depth is the real part of the iceberg, where you move from the milk to the meat of life. This is how you can do it. Romans 10:9. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised you from the dead, thou can be saved. That if you confess Jesus is Lord, you make him Lord of your life right now. You believe that Jesus, when he was born, he walked this earth, he fellowshiped with the disciples. You believe that he got crucified, he went down to hell and took the keys and got the authority. He ascended up to heaven, and he sat on the right hand of God for you and me, waiting for us before he returned. Hallelujah. Waiting for us. He wants to ensure that everybody, nobody will perish, so everybody will get the word. Please hear it. That's why it's up to you and me, those who already know Christ, to go and tell everybody that there's somebody that can save anybody. But if you believe Christ and you ask for this forgiveness, that he and believe that he forgive you of your sins, then you will be a new creation in him. Old things will have passed away, and now there's a new beginning in Christ. You begin to transform. Let no one tell you when you get saved that it's going to be easy peasy. Let no one tell you now that you will be accepted by everybody. Let no one tell you that this walk is an easy walk. This journey is an easy walk, journey, because in truth, that ain't true. It is probably the hardest thing I do. And you know the funny thing about it? A good portion of the time outside of the things I have to do within the course of the day, I'm by myself and the battle is on. Satan all up in my head, trying to make it hard. The more I learn about Christ, the more he show up. The more he show up. So it's hard. As I said, no one can be 100%. Only Christ, God, and the Holy Spirit can be the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. But we keep striving. We keep striving. We continue to try to mature spiritually. So we truly can, as we say from Paul again, when I was a child, I thought as a child, I reasoned as a child, I acted as a child, but when I became a man, spiritual man, I put off them childish ways. That is the objective. So you can keep working towards the prize, so you complete the race. It's worth its weight in gold. The joy is unspeakable. I always call my daughter the girl that has the unspeakable joy. Oh, my God, if you could just feel one time and listen to her laugh. You will know what joy feels like. And she don't know what's going on in the world, but oh, she got joy. So again, accept Christ your personal Lord and Savior and just give him praise. Seek out a church home. You can seek out us at Kingdom Build Development Institute so you can listen to other dynamic ministers and prophets and teachers, and they will help you to mature. And you can go, if you want to email us, you can email us at kingdombuilderplaza@gmail.com. If you want to call and get more information, contact the home office 313-583-9739. Please, please, sow into the ministry. We want to keep it going. We want to keep the opportunity for people to go into the world and tell somebody they know someone who can save anybody. So give to www.giveify.com, GIVLIFY.com. As I always like to say in party, don't forget to meditate a little bit on them 12 points, if you can call them, or go to the archives. And again, as in party, I always like to say, you pray for me, I pray for you, and hey, let's just watch and see the great things. Have a wonderful week. And again, thank you for listening. Hallelujah.
Let me hear you make some Holy Ghost crazy noise right now. Let me hear you.